is found in Proverbs 3:13. And one more thing, I hope it's all right with our streaming members, is I will read in my Bible, and then I'd also like to let some of you read in some different versions that you'd have. We will have a couple mics as well, so that we have a different perspective on this text before we go into our sharing time this morning. So, Proverbs 3:13, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. And would there be anybody that would want to read of a different version?
Marilyn? The Church Bible says, blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. So he's happy and blessed.
Great.
I have the NIV version here. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding.
This is from The Voice. How fortunate are those who discover Lady Wisdom and those who understand her ways.
The clear word, happy is the man who finds true wisdom and the man who grows in understanding.
Well, thank you very much. We have one last one.
New Living Testament says, joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding.
Thank you for sharing, and we are thankful for the gift of the Bible.
Land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. But the Father waits over the way. He's preparing a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessings of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Saints at the river.
that flows by the throne.
Thank you so much for that music. There's something that's so touching about it, and the way you guys shared, thank you so much for that. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to set my stuff over here today, because that's for adults. I feel a little shorter when I'm behind it, so I'm just going to use this one over here. I know it's a very special one, so I just am going to set my stuff on top. When I was a senior in college, I was in a store, and I saw a book on the shelf there, and being an elementary education major, this book caught my eye. It's this one right here. It's called Listening to the Littlest. And it is a book by Ruth Reardon. And I thought, okay, this would be good for me. I'm going to be a teacher. And I opened up the front cover, and inside she writes, if littlest ones could know what only ears can teach, if littlest ones could tell just how they feel, maybe they would talk like this, maybe we would listen. Kids have a lot to teach us. They might not have decades of experience behind them, but there's a lot we could learn from them. Of course, there's other things you don't want to learn, like tantrum throwing and picking your nose. But they're very intelligent. They're smart. They listen. They pay attention. They problem solve in their own way. And one great example of that would be Jesus when he was 12 years old. He was in the temple educating the greatest minds of his time. That was a child leading. So kids say lots of stuff. What's one thing a child might say? Well, they might say, smile. Kids smile a lot, don't they? And it's sad that sometimes it seems like some of us try to fight smiling as if it were a bad thing. But kids love to smile. They just light up at anything. Teeth brushing time in our house is not quite the same, because if you put a child in front of a mirror, what are they going to do? They're going to make faces, right? And so the dentist will tell you, brush your teeth for 2 minutes. Well, it takes 7 minutes just to get one part of their mouth done, because they're goofing off with each other, and there's a bunch of giggling going on, more giggling than brushing, and they just have so, so much fun. And, you know, you think about Jesus. Kids loved to be around Jesus. Why is that? It's because Jesus was loving. He was warm. He had a happy face. Mrs. White tells us, it's been said that Jesus never smiled, but that's not correct. A child in its innocence and purity called forth from his lips a joyous song. And something else to think about, the most beautiful wrinkles you'll ever have on your face are the ones you got from smiling. Here's something else a child might tell us, that enthusiasm is the spice of life. Now, kids get excited about lots of things. It could be over something simple like a hula hoop or something huge like Disneyland, but they get excited. It's like shaking a can of soda and it, you know, exploding all over. And it can be in lots of different situations, not just over things. I would like to ask our three boys to come right up here and stand on the ground there in front. Just right there is good. You can turn around and face everybody. Now, I'm going to ask you guys to spread out a little bit. You need a little room. That's good right there. Now, do 100 jumping jacks. Do you see any smiles? Do you see any happy faces? Okay, I don't know where we're at right now, but keep going. Keep going. This is good for you. If I were to ask three adults to come up here, do you think we'd get the same response? And to be honest with you, that's why I didn't. I don't like getting those kinds of looks. Thank you, guys. You can finish at home later. Job well done. It's just exciting. They take any situation. Even if you were to take them out on a hike to start off with, they'd be so excited. At the end of it, they'd be so excited. We'd all be sore and wish we'd never tried it. But they have this excitement, this joy of life. Another thing you might hear a child say is, cheer up. Be happy. There's a lot going on in life that seems to take the joy right out. You know, the air right out of your balloon. But they're very good at looking on the bright side of things. If you're familiar with the movie Pollyanna, You probably remember she liked to play a game. Do you guys remember what the name of the game was? The glad game. And the point of the glad game was what? To find the gladness, find something to be glad about, even in a bad situation. And that's what kids are good at. Our boys were recently in a class with an instructor who had divided the kids into two teams. And it was boys against girls. And of course, at that age, that's the ultimate rivalry. And so both sides were taking this competition very seriously. Well, when the instructor was done testing their skill sets, he called out the score of girls 3, boys 1. Devastation, yes, hit the room. For everyone except one. And we're trying to figure out, why is Ian jumping all around, screaming and yelling and so happy? Here's what Ian at age 4 heard. Girls 3, boys 1. And so he was so excited, and he's looking at the other guys, and he's saying, Brody, Brody, it's okay, boys won. And any situation can be turned into something cheerful and happy, and he turned that whole room into a little laugh fest because we all understood that he was understanding something totally different, but something more important. It was really, really fun, and he lifted all of our spirits, especially the boys. Here's another thing you might hear a child say around the house or anywhere. I'll help. Have you ever had a child say that to you? Brody's job every week at our house is to take out the trash. And he usually has his two little brothers who will say, I'll help you, Brody. And they're rushing and hurrying to get their shoes on. They can't wait to help. In fact, they feel left out and heartbroken if they don't get to help. If you were in a room full of kids and you had some task to do and you were to ask them, who will help me? You get a bunch of little kids jumping up and down saying, me, me, me. As we get older, it turns from me, me, me into don't pick me, right? We don't want to be that, but we're missing out on a blessing if we don't offer up that help, and those kids get that blessing. Well, with kids, helping can also mean sharing. And this is, where are we? Sorry, I lost my spot. This is Miles Eckert right here. If you have not met Miles Eckert or heard his story, I'm glad you're here today. Miles Eckert is an 8-year-old boy. He lives in Ohio. He was going to a Cracker Barrel restaurant with his family one day. And when he got out of the car in the parking lot, this is what he found on the ground. A $20 bill. That's a good find for anybody, right? So between the car and the front door of the restaurant, Miles was already spending that money. And by the time he got into the restaurant and they went into the dining room to sit down, he noticed someone sitting in that restaurant. It was a soldier. Now, soldiers have a very special place in Miles' heart. You see, because when he was just a newborn, not long after this picture was taken with his dad there, his dad was a soldier. His dad was killed in Iraq. And so soldiers just catch his attention, and they mean so much to him. So when Miles got to the table of the restaurant, he sat down, and he asked his mom for a piece of paper. And here's what he wrote on this. Dear soldier, my dad was a soldier. He's in heaven now. I found this $20 in the parking lot when we got here. We like to pay it forward in my family. It's your lucky day. Thank you for your service. Miles Eckert, Gold Star Kid. He walked over and gave this to Lieutenant Colonel Frank Daly. And he reminded Lieutenant Colonel Daly of a very important lesson, that there is joy in sharing, there's joy in helping, there's joy in connecting. And that's a lesson that that soldier's not going to forget. He still has that $20 bill. He's not going to spend it. That means so much to him. Miles, on his way home, wanted to stop at the graveyard where his dad's buried. And in his own little way, he wanted to tell his dad about his day. That was another way of connecting. When we connect in special ways, it lasts. And that's a lasting connection that Miles has with another soldier, another important person in his life. And they're now good friends that we'll be keeping in touch. Another thing kids are good at is calling it like it is. If you want the truth, ask a child. If you want an answer that's been spun and polished, ask an adult. If you've ever made something that didn't taste good, you're going to hear it. If something doesn't smell right, you'll know it. If something isn't honest and true, they'll tell you. If you ever spent any time with Brian Wickham, he just pops in my head. He's definitely one of those kids who's the honest type. And I love that so much about him. You knew where Brian stood. He let you know. Well, Dr. Dobson, I'm sure you're probably familiar with him, Dr. James Dobson, he tells a story in his book, Bringing Up Boys, about his son, Ryan. And they had gone to the snow with some family friends, the two families. They were in the cabin. They had gone for a long ski weekend. They got there Thursday, and so did a blizzard. And they couldn't get out of the cabin on Thursday, on Friday, or Saturday. And Sunday morning, the sun is out. It's so cheerful and bright, and the snow is just sparkling like a mountain full of glitter. And, oh, it looks so beautiful. They'd been waiting 3 days to get out there and hit the slopes. Well, being a very devout Sunday-keeping family, what they normally do on Sunday is go to church, and they take a break from any other activities they might normally do throughout the week, and they spend that as a special day. Well, Dr. Dobson, knowing that they've been trapped in this cabin with kids for 3 days, thought, well, let's make an exception. So he gathered the two families together for a powwow, and he said, you know, I'm pretty sure the Lord would understand if we just went out and hit the slopes today and then later on had a little worship by ourselves, you know, later tonight. So, okay, that was the plan. The family split up and everyone got busy with their morning. Well, he was in the kitchen and his wife walked in and said, I think you need to talk to your son. Now, any dad knows that when your wife says that to you, there's probably some trouble brewing. So he went upstairs and there he found his son Ryan sitting on the bed, tears just coming down his face. And he said, Ryan, as he sits down, what's wrong? Here's what Ryan told him. Dad, I have never seen you compromise until today. You've always told us that doing stuff like this on Sunday was not right. And Dad, if it wasn't right all that other time, then Dad, it's not right now. Well, here's Dr. Dobson, who sold millions of copies of his books. He's spoken around the world, radio program for decades. Well, you know, well-known psychologist, just got schooled by his son. And as Dr. Dobson is sitting there humbly feeling the hammer of guilt, he told his son, you know, Ryan, you're right. That was very hypocritical what I just did. How about we go down together and make this right? And will you forgive me? So they went downstairs, got the families back together for another powwow. And he said, you know, I made a mistake. You guys are welcome to go skiing today, but my family and I are heading into the village to go to a church there. The other family looked so relieved. We didn't want to go skiing either, they said. We had wanted to go to church, but we didn't want to say anything because you're Dr. Dobson. Well, you know what? That little boy, having the courage to call it like it was, helped save two families from making a mistake that their hearts would have regretted. We can appreciate the honesty of children. Instead of maybe quieting them down, maybe listen to it instead. Here's something else you probably heard a child say. I can do that. Have you ever heard a child say that? And it doesn't matter what it is. They've got the required skills. Just let me at it. Well, you know, a lot of times we let our fears keep us from doing something. Like maybe we leave a project undone because we're afraid we're going to mess it up and it's not going to look right. Maybe we don't have a conversation we should have because we're afraid of being shut down or being, misunderstood. Maybe we don't try something we've always wanted to try because we're afraid we're going to be laughed at. But kids have confidence. Margaret was actually sharing a story with me not too long ago about one of her boys. He was telling her that he was going to be a plumber, a fireman, and I can't remember all the others. He listed 4 or 5 jobs he was going to do. And she asked him, well, how are you going to do that? Oh, that's easy. I'll change my hats. He had it all figured out. There was no problem. He had it all under control. Confidence is a beautiful thing. And Paul actually reminds us of that in Hebrews 10:35. He says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. We can have confidence in God. God is behind us as long as we're willing to walk in his path. Go for it. Here's another thing you've probably heard kids say. Let's play dress up. Did your kids ever like to dress up? You've probably been in a store and come cross paths with a little princess or maybe a firefighter or a superhero. My sister just crossed paths with a cowboy not too long ago in Walmart. I know I have shopped with 3 cowboys myself who like to use the card as their stagecoach. But we always have to make sure we go slowly. It's not like we're trying to outrun robbers or something. But kids love dressing up. They love just, you know, down to the last detail. And what they love even more is when you notice it. Like when my sister to the cowboy said, well, howdy there, cowboy. Oh, his smile just got so big. He was so excited that someone noticed. As we get older, we get more afraid to be noticed. We get more afraid to wear that uniform. Kind of like, you know, Peter at the fire during Jesus' trial. We love God, but don't point me out for it. And there's a song that one of our favorite Christian artists sings. His name is Billy Otto, and he sings, stand up, stand out, be magnificent today. There's no way you can do those things unless you're willing to go for it and just put it out there. There's just no way. And having that confidence, being willing to dress up in who you are, that's pretty fun. There's something else that kids are good at saying, I like you. And it's precious. Here's what Trenton Cochran says about his sister, Lindsay. She's one of the center priorities of my life. I would take a bullet for her. She's my best friend. I would do anything for her. Here they are. Lindsay has been in a wheelchair since she was 2. She'll never walk, but she is her brother's best friend. They play basketball together, they race, they play frisbees, you can see in her hand. They hang out, they do all kinds of things together. He loves his sister. And what he says about her is, she's just my sister, she's just another kid. But there's other people who would look at her and want to treat her differently because, you know, they think maybe she's not able. But she's very able, and he knows it, and he loves that about his sister. They have a best friend relationship. As a mom, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and if you were to come by my house at any given day, you will not find me looking like Donna Reed or June Cleaver in my beautiful house dress and pearls around my neck and floating around the house. I just don't do that. I'm more of a comfy clothes, bird's nest configuration on top of my head some way, somehow. No makeup, but countless times looking like that, I have had little arms hug me and say, how's my beautiful mama? And that is so precious to me because it was not me looking beautiful. It was them looking at who I was inside. And it's so humbling. They like you for who you are. That's a special gift. And if we could learn to give that more to others, we could be touching them the exact same way. Here's something else kids are good at saying. I forgive you. That is a hard thing to say. One story that amazes me in the Bible is the one of who we call the little maid. We don't know how little she was, but she was young, taken away from her family by Syrian soldiers, taken to a foreign land where they weren't kind to enemies, forced to work day after day as a slave in a home. That could build a lot of anger and resentment in your heart, couldn't it? But when her master, Captain Naaman, comes down with leprosy, what does she do? I know what I would have done, been tempted to do. She knows that she has life-saving information, and she shared it. She could have said, zipping my lips, you can just die and deserve what you get. But she didn't do that. She'd forgiven in her heart, and because of that, he learned of God, and so did so many others, because she was willing to forgive. In this book that I had picked up in the store, there's a poem in here to moms. And it says, good night, mother. It's okay. You didn't win a prize today for motherhood today, but it's okay. You haven't ruined my development by one bad day. I want a human mother, not a model one. You sure were angry at the world, but don't worry, mother. I felt your kiss. There's always tomorrow. Forgiving and forgetting are easy when I know I am loved. Here's another thing that you might have heard a child say, that hurt. And they maybe weren't even talking about a splinter in their hand or maybe stubbing their toe. They're talking about their feelings. When kids are happy, you know it. When they're heartbroken, you know it. As we get older, we get better at hiding what's going on inside, but it's still there. And when you're dealing with people and you're dealing with their emotions, you have to be so careful. When you're making decisions that affect them, it's important. As a teacher, I was there for several of my families who went through divorces. You know, they're the teacher of their children. And I watched those kids change. I watched the families change. And one thing you hear thrown around with kids in divorce is, oh, they're resilient. Here's the definition of resilient. Able to recoil or spring back into shape after bending, stretching, or being compressed. That means taking the original form. Can you honestly say that after going through something really hard in life, you were resilient? You went right back to what you were before that happened? I know I can't say that. Kids, people, adults, we're not resilient. We might be strong, we might make it through something, but we're not resilient. So when it comes to making a decision that's going to affect someone else, you have to think hard about it. You have to pray hard about it. You have to think ahead and ask yourself, is this really worth it? Because we are shaping others by the choices we make. We're leaving scratches, dents, dings on them. And it has to be worth it. It has to really be worth it. Lastly, kids appreciate simplicity. And we were just recently watching some home movies, and here is our little boy tearing into a package. And wouldn't you know it, the joy did not come from what was in the package, it came from the wrapping in the box, right? And I'm sure we're not the only ones who thought, could have saved money and just wrapped a cardboard box. But they love the simplicity of it. And I know we as adults enjoy simplicity. When you look at your calendar and you see that you have an empty day coming up, don't you look forward to that day? And you hope that nothing else happens to take that day away, because that is going to be your breath of fresh air. Simplicity means so much. So, to wrap up what we can learn from our little friends, the next time you're brushing your teeth, try making a funny face in the mirror. Just give it a try. The next time you feel like smiling, don't fight the feeling. The next time you find it hard to forgive someone, think about the little maid and ask yourself, is it really worth holding on to? The next time you are finding life getting crazy and out of control, see if you can take a step back and see what you can do to just enjoy the wrapping paper in the box. The next time you need life advice, you could talk to a friend, you could read a book, you could call into a radio program, or you could stop and listen to the chatter of a child. And you might not get all your problems solved in one session, but chances are your spirits are going to be lifted. And so many times when you can just get above those gray clouds that have been hanging over you, you can see more clearly and you can feel hope. God gave his children not just so that we could be a part of their development and growth, but so that they could be a part of ours. And to borrow a phrase from a famous kids movie, tweaking it a little bit, but not everyone can become a great teacher, but a great teacher can come from anywhere. And maybe all we have to do is look under our noses and start listening to the littlest. Would you guys pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for giving us the joys of in our lives of these sweet little people that run around on 2 feet. And even though sometimes it feels like our patience is thin and all, we know that they're here to love us and we are here to love them, and that's the most important thing. And help us as we learn from them. Help us to appreciate the lessons they've given us and to be willing to learn them. Please watch over us as we go through this week and cross paths with sweet little people. Help us to remember what treasures they are and show that to them through our faces the way you did. Help us to take the time to love them and listen and talk to them just like you did. And in doing that, we know that you're going to minister right back to us. And Lord, I also ask that you please be with Clyda. Please be with her as she's recovering. And be with Doc. Please help them both be strong. In your name we pray. Amen.